Robin's van gets 21 miles to the gallon, so we drive my car. Robin's going to run errands. She says, can I take your car? Because it gets 40 miles to the gallon, so saving that money. That's good stuff. Y'all ready this morning? That's like three of y'all. Y'all ready this morning?
Yes.
Okay, most of y'all. Thank you, whoever yelled back there. That was good. My message is called Treasures in the Darkness. As far as I know, we are all human here. I don't know if I've ever met an alien here, from Mars. I don't know if I've met an AI creature, who was the guy? I'll be back. Arnold Schwarzenegger, I don't know if I met a robot in this place. As far as I know, all of y'all are human. Therefore, we all experience pain. We all experience tragedy, hurts, depression, anguish. We all experience dark seasons in our days. I felt very led to preach this message, sandwiched between the two. Last week, how many of y'all enjoyed Jean being here? All this week, when I would say her name, I would like, Jean. And she was just an amazing story. I'm not a fast reader. Robin's like a fast reader. I'm a slow reader. And I read that book. I just finished it yesterday. I just couldn't put it down. It was horrific what I'm reading, but I wanted to know the next chapter of the story. And so just kind of tells you the details of some of the things that she shared here. But right in the midst of I want to preach this message, right after Jean's story of her horrific darkness and yet how God redeemed it and what the enemy desired for evil, God is using for his good. She discovered some treasures birthed in her darkness. Now, literally, she's traveling around the world. I believe she's in Washington, D.C. right now, sharing God's redemption, sharing forgiveness, sharing of the miracles. I think I told you about it last week. She's doing a documentary for CBS right now. It'll finish recording this month. And what an awesome opportunity that God is platforming her before the world to tell of his goodness. From darkness, he birthed forth treasures. The message is sandwiched between her and next week we will hear from Catching. She will talk about how her scars and her pain has platformed her before a world to share of God's redeeming love. The Bible speaks a lot about darkness, Psalm 23:4. And in just a moment, we're going to get to Psalm 102 if you want to turn in your Bibles. But Psalm 23:4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. We could talk about Noah, we could talk about Job and Nehemiah, we could talk about Paul in the New Testament being in prison for the gospel. There are plenty of examples of people that went through dark trials directly from the word, that went through deep seasons of darkness that we can glean insight from. But if we are open to it, if we allow God to speak to us, if we run to him rather than run away from him, then there are a lot of treasures to be learned in the midst of the darkness. In our most difficult seasons of life, God uses those seasons to teach us greatly. I think back on my life, and in my darkest seasons, I gleaned great, great treasures. Many of those treasures I live my life by. You've heard me tell the story of the first church I worked out after Bible college, and it was an extremely dysfunctional, unhealthy church, a very doctrinally sound but doctrinally out of balance church. Many of the things I do today as a result of what I learned not to do from that church. Treasures. This morning, we're going to look at treasures found in the darkness. So first of all, we're going to look at some darkness found right in the Word of God. Turn with me to 102. I think our ushers may be coming around right now and passing out these right here. There are some notes. I'm not going to get to them until, I don't know, towards the end of my message, but we want to talk about five action steps. And so there are some papers right there that they're going to be passing out. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 102. We're going to tackle the first 10 or so verses one by one. I want to get to just verse 1. It says, "Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come to you." We can immediately identify with this. He approaches God in a time of deep darkness, basically saying, "God, I hope you hear." We all do that, right? In the midst of a crisis, we can't feel him. God, where are you in the midst of it? Raise your hand if you've ever asked God that in the midst of your journey. Anybody? Yeah, okay. About half the people. Sometimes the only time we go to God is in the midst of our darkness. Verse 2, it says, "Do not hide your face from me in the day of my trouble. Incline your ear to me, and in the day I will call, answer me speedily." God seemed far away. Does God ever seem far away to you? He seems silent at times. Verse 3, "For my days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burned like a hearth." Life seemed meaningless and worthless. It's crazy how we can have a job, a car, we can have a family, we can have all these things, but if one small area of our life is going wrong, it destroys our, wrecks havoc on everything else. It's kind of like my toe. I stump my toe. It's a little bitty thing, you know, or I get a splinter in it, maybe a little bitty splinter, and I mean, my whole body is functional, you know. I can walk and stand and run. Everything is good, but I got this tiny little splinter, and it's dictating how I feel about everything. How you doing? Oh, terrible. It's rough. I got this little bitty splinter right there. I mean, life is just horrible. I just don't know how I'm going to survive this world. It's funny how a little bitty splinter can affect everything. Verse 3, it says, "His bone burned like hearth." I looked it up, and I'm like, I don't know what hearth is. It's the foundation or the floor of a fireplace. That's how his bones felt. Either David was dealing with a physical sickness or he had such deep anguish, it was affecting him physically. Verse 4, "My heart is stricken and withered like grass, so that I forgot to eat my bread." He just had a loss of appetite. Verse 5, "Because of the sound of my groaning, my bones cling to my skin." He's moaning in pain. Verse 6, "I'm like a pelican of the wilderness. I'm like an owl of the desert." He felt alone. Sometimes during our times of darkness, we can be surrounded by people all around us and feel so alone. There are people everywhere, but I feel like I'm just totally alone. Verse 7, "I lie awake, and I'm like a sparrow alone on the housetop. I can't sleep." Now, I don't have insomnia that often. Typically, when I lay my head on my pillow, within about 2 minutes, I am gone. And so Robin's talking to me, and all of a sudden she said, "Did you hear me?" And I'm just snoozing. And life is normally that way, but every once in a while, I will get insomnia, and I don't like it. I mean, I don't know how insomnia works for y'all, but for me, all of a sudden my knee starts itching, and then itch there, and I got to itch there. I don't feel like getting up, coming exhausted. And I'm tired. I just want to sleep, but my body won't let me. I'm not comfortable this way or that way. My head hurts because of the pillow, and everything is not functioning well. It's not fun at all. And David's saying he can't even sleep at night. Verse 8, "My enemies reproach me all day long, and those who deride me swear an oath against me." He felt persecuted and rejected. His enemies were enjoying his pain. Have you ever walked into a room and you just felt like everybody is talking about you? Anybody? You know, they probably aren't at all. But you walk into a room and you just feel that everybody, I mean, like the oxygen has been sucked out of the room. And I know they're talking about me. And you just get consumed in how you feel about what you think everybody is saying. Oftentimes the enemy plays games with us, feeling that everybody's looking after us, everybody's going after us, our enemies are out to attack us. It's crazy how the mind works. I mean, we have to be very careful with our mind. It will go in all kinds of crazy places. When Robin and I were first married, we were pastoring up in Ohio. And there was a gentleman in our church going through a divorce. And he wasn't a wealthy man. He wasn't a poor man. But, you know, he would come to my house at like 7:30 on Saturday morning. Yes, that's right, Saturday morning. I'm asleep at 7:30, back then especially, at 7:30 on Saturday morning. And he would come over, and he would just sit in my living room. And all of a sudden, he would get up and start shutting the blinds, and he would start peeking out the window. And I'm like, dude, what are you doing? He's like, they're watching me. They're watching me. He's like, I'm like, who's watching? I'm like, my ex-wife. I know she's watching me. I think, for one, what is she watching? You're at the pastor's house in his living room. You're in a good place, you know? And he's like, I don't know. I think she's hired someone to look after me. I'm like, dude, come on. I'm like, your wife is not a wealthy woman, and she has better things to do than track you down and look out for you and spy on you. But his mind was playing all kinds of crazy things. She wasn't trying to chase him down, but his mind was just going crazy. And like, all my enemies are just after me and spreading things. We have to be very careful where this mind goes in our darkest days, because they can go in all kinds of crazy places. Verse 9, for I've eaten ashes like bread and mingled my drink with weeping. He is in some dark places. He is distraught to the max. Verse 10, because of your indignation and your wrath, you have lifted me up and cast me away. He felt that God had discarded him. I think that's one of the greatest things for believers when they go through dark seasons. They feel that God has discarded them. Why doesn't God love me anymore? I just ministered to someone just this week that doesn't attend Go Church, and they just felt that God had discarded them. David shares some deep anguish. I think we all can relate to many of his points. But the last time I checked, 2 Corinthians chapter 1:20 says it this way, for all the promises of God are yes and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. That's the power of this book for us, because God says some real stories of people of deep anguish, but then he gives us the hope, because when we read about the promises of God, we can cling to those promises, because the Bible says for the believer, they are yes and in him, amen. You can put your name in the midst of that promise, because that promise is for you. Isaiah chapter 45:3 says it this way, I will give you the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of the secret places, that you may know that I, the Lord, who called you by your name, am the God of Israel. Now let me tell you the context of that verse. God was speaking to a pagan king, Cyrus. He was speaking to him about delivering the Hebrew people from captivity. God is speaking to Cyrus and is telling him that when you conquer Babylon, I would give you the treasures of darkness. Now, understanding the culture of that times, when kingdoms would have great riches, where would they hide those? They would hide all the treasures underneath the palaces that the king lived in. Or they would hide the treasures underneath the temples in dark vats. In the darkness were great, great treasures. We know that to be the case. Even in just about 5 or 6 years ago, there was a Hindu temple in India. They discovered this hidden basement. They went in. Get this, they found what they believed is $1 trillion of riches. I didn't say billions, I didn't say millions. I said they felt that it was worth $1 trillion underneath this temple. In the darkness, there were great treasures. God is saying in this verse, I will give you the treasures found in the darkness. God would later use Cyrus to send the children of Israel back to the promised land, back to Israel to rebuild their cities. It was during the time of captivity. God, this morning, wants you to inherit all the promises of God. God wants you to possess all the treasures that were found in your darkness. He taught you some great lessons in the midst of your darkness. The question for us today, have you learned what those are? Because seasons of darkness can defeat us and destroy us, or we can learn the lessons that take us to the next level in our walk with Him. The question for us, have we learned from our darkness? Have we received those lessons? Frustrations are found in the darkness. There are legitimate frustrations that are in the darkness. We saw it in Psalm 102. Frustrations found in the darkness. David vividly shared his grief in the midst of the darkness. In the midst of our darkness, it's hard to see things very clearly. So I'm going to do an illustration. I need some help. I need one volunteer. Who's going to volunteer? Come on. Come on, somebody. All right. Let me just get Dodie right here. And so, Dodie, I'm going to put this out right here. Okay, you just go on back there, Dodie. All right. Yeah, go ahead and pull that out. Okay, Dodie, you just need to listen to me, okay, Dodie? Dodie, I just want you to walk towards me, but I'm going to tell you the command. You can come on and walk. Now, you're going to have to go around that first chair right there. Go around that first chair. Yeah, you can come on down. Your eyes open. No problem. Yeah, go around this right here. Come on. You can go faster because you're good. Yeah, see? Okay, come on. High five right here. Piece of cake. Now, go back. One more time. When you get back there, now close your eyes. All right. Okay, got your eyes closed. You can't see where I'm putting things. There's some chairs in your way. Yes, hey, people, stop standing in her way. She can't see y'all. Now, Dodie, I just want you to listen to me, okay? Dodie, you just make your way. Come on, just make your way. You're doing good. I'm not going to have you run into anything, I promise. If you follow my instructions, you'll do just fine. Come on. You're doing just fine. You need to curve a little bit to your left. You're about to hit. Carla, you're doing good. Keep on going straight right there. Straight, yeah. Turn a little bit to your left again because you're heading towards George. But George doesn't mind. He knows. Okay, then turn back a little bit to the right because come on. You're doing great. You're doing super. You're just listening to my voice so well. Come on. You have just passed the last hurdle. You can just walk. Yeah, you can open your eyes. Whoop, whoop, okay. All right. Y'all want to grab those chairs? Now, here's the question. Yeah, give it up for Dodie. She did a great job. Now, you need to interact with me a little bit. What was different besides her eyes being closed from the first scenario to the second scenario? Yes. She had to listen to my voice. She had to be very precise. Excellent. Somebody else? Huh? The number of obstacles, were there more? I don't think so. Just felt like it with her eyes closed. It was more dangerous. Yeah. That was a good perception. In the darkness, it does feel like there's a whole lot more obstacles. Uncertainty. Good word. She was uncertain. You could use the word fearful. Yes, she had to trust me, yes. And therefore, it took you longer. You had to slow down greatly. Your first time, you could have walked a whole lot faster than that. I was trying to get you to go a little bit faster. But the second time, she slowed way down because of that fear. I'm going to come back to that in just a second. Remember that. We're going to tackle that right here, and we're going to tackle that towards the end. There are legitimate fears, frustrations that are found in the darkness. 2 Corinthians 5:7 tells us to walk by faith, not by sight. God's word is always important, but in our darkness, it is doubly important. Because in our darkness, we have a tendency to say, God, I can't hear you. I can't feel you. So what else do I need to look for? Do I need to cling for joy through other vices in life? Do I need to cling to a relationship that's unhealthy for me? Do I need to run to drugs or alcohol? We have a tendency to chase after different things when our God is silent at that time. We must be so sure to walk in faith and say, God, I don't feel you. I don't see you. I don't know where you are, but I will stand on this word. I will stand on it and I will walk by faith. You know what that requires? We must be a body of believers that are in the word. How do we stand on the word unless we know what the word says? Because when we're in the midst of prayer, when we have known this word, God will begin to remind you of those verses. God will remind you of the promises of Him. God will remind you of all the truth that is found in this book. You don't feel Him. You're crying out to Him. He's not answering you and say, God, I don't understand it, but I walk by faith and not by sight. Your frustrations are legitimate. They're expected. But will you walk by faith? Will you stand on His truth? Number three, treasures in the darkness. God has a message for you today. The question is, have you discovered the treasures, the gems, the lessons that have been found in your darkness? Does that mean God is causing all the pain? If you know anything about me, my answer is absolutely not. Sickness is a result of the fall. If you're going to blame anybody for your sickness, blame it on Adam and Eve. Some of your pain comes from your own choices. We make stupid decisions and have to deal with the consequences of it. Some of our pain comes from other people's bad choices. Some of the pain comes from we live in a broken world where broken things happen. Because of the fall, our world is broken. Sickness and disease are in this world because of brokenness. And we have to walk through those seasons at times. But God will use the darkness to give you treasures. And those treasures will propel you to your future. He did with Jean. He did with Ketchy. He wants to do it with you. The early church was scattered. The early church, right after Jesus has died, He's risen, they're so excited. They get filled with the Holy Spirit. Thousands of people are getting saved and getting baptized. Things are going great. Then persecution comes. They start killing believers, throwing them in prison. So what do believers do? They scatter. They scattered to the ends of the earth. You and I are a product of their scattering. They took the gospel to the end of the known world. You say, boy, that was a dark season, but what were the lessons? It taught them boldness. It taught them faith. It taught them strength. It taught them to be bold in the midst of persecution. God taught them great treasures in the midst of their greatest darkness. Every one of us goes through darkness. The question for every one of us, will we learn lessons? Let me give you 5 action steps real quick. Yeah, get that paper. If you have a pen, write these 5 action steps down. Action step number 1 that we learn from the illustration, slow down and listen. It's hard to hear in the midst of the darkness. God is probably speaking to you, but you have your eyes so much on the mountain in front of you, you can't hear God's voice. You know, somebody's trying to tell you something. I don't know about y'all. I'm a talker. Anybody know that? You know, I'm just like I'm a talker. And so somebody's trying to tell you something. You know, I'm telling, yeah, and this happened last night. And Ron's trying to tell me something really important. Yeah, that happened. This happened. Oh, let me tell you about this story. Oh, that was hilarious, right? See you later. But yeah, Ron had something really important for me, but he couldn't get an edge in because I did all the talking. That's what we do in the middle of our darkness. God is saying, yes, I have some answers for you, but we are so captivated. Even if we're praying, God, it's terrible. It's rough. It's Lord, where are you? I don't know where you are. God, I need you. Oh, would you speak to me? And God, I think God gets frustrated with us at times, right? Slow down. Listen. The Bible speaks about that still, small voice. Slow down. Number two, find the good and expect the best. Your mind is a powerful tool. And in darkness, it has a tendency to get really negative. That kind of negativity will leave you more discouraged, depressed, and dissatisfied. Wake up and challenge yourself to find the good and expect the best. Don't dwell on the calamity. Don't dwell on all the negativity, because if you go down that road, it can be a slippery slope. Focus on the words like Jeremiah 29:11 that says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and to not harm you. Plans to give you a future and a hope." Dwell on the truth of the Word of God. Wake up and choose to look for the best in an otherwise difficult day. Number three, look for the lessons, the treasures that are found in the darkness. Your greatest treasures are often found in your greatest darkness. Some of the songs that we sing, whether in the secular world or even in the Christian world, were written in the dark seasons of their life. Lauren Daigle has a song, can't remember which one it was, but she went home and wrote it after her grandfather passed away, who was deeply dear to her. And in her darkness, God began to speak to her the greatest treasures. Number four, surround yourself with loving, godly people. In our darkness, we have a tendency to run away from people. We need to be a people that choose to run toward people. It's coming on Sunday morning and choosing to gather together and celebrate even when you don't feel like it. You heard the story about the guy. Did I already tell this story? But the guy that was asleep, and his wife comes in and says, "It's time to get up. It's church time." And the guy says, "I don't want to go to church today." And she goes, "It's time to go." And he said, "Would you give me," and I think it was three, but I only remember two, "three reasons why I should go to church?" And she said, "For one," she said, "it's Sunday. It's the Lord's day, and you need to go. For two," and I can't remember what it was, and she told him what the second one, "and three, you're the pastor, so get up. Those people are expecting you to be there." Sometimes we just need to choose to be around God's people. It's okay to come to church and says, "I'm having a really bad day. I really need some prayer." You need to connect to a small group. It'll be biblically the best way to farm community is the context of a small group. You can't hide for very long in a small group. We have six of them here. Proverbs 15:22 says, "Without a counsel, plans go awry. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established." Surround yourself with godly people who will speak life, speak truth, love you, but speak truth in the midst of you. Number five, and the last one, trust that God is at work even when you don't see him, hear him, or feel him. When I trust that God is at work, my darkness no longer is a nightmare. That's called faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. There's a video that I want to show you. It's 14 minutes long, and so I won't show you 14 minutes, but I'll show you about 2 minutes worth. But it's a story about, I believe, by the Manus family. It's a powerful story about a man and a woman who loved Jesus, who met each other. Before they met each other, they wanted to eventually get married to someone, and they felt the Lord had given them a name for their future baby. The baby's name was Chloe. They met each other and began to talk about their faith, began to talk about their love for each other, and obviously children came up and says, "Hey, what do you want to name your first child?" And the guy or the girl said, "Hey, I think our first child should be Chloe." And she's like, "Whoa, that is so crazy. Because all my life, I've wanted to name my first baby Chloe. coolest thing in the world. They get married. They're in love. They can't wait to have children. The mom says, I don't want a career. I don't want to do all these things in life. Only thing I've always wanted to do is be a mommy. After 4 years, they couldn't get pregnant. That whole Chloe thing must have just been a fluke. Where is God in the midst of my pain? There is no Chloe. Just watch this 1 minute, Skin.
It was really hard. It was really, I don't know. I think I struggled with questioning God's goodness in that time. Because I just felt like it was so mean, you know, like such a mean thing to do. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, so there was like a probably 4.5 year period that I would say was really, really hard on us individually, on us in our marriage, and also like the way we were relating with God. Especially for me, I felt like, is God good even when he's not doing things that I would define as good?
All of her friends were having kids, and she had to just wait and put on this cheesy smile, this fake smile, and say, we're happy for you. And every time that we would hear about someone getting pregnant, we would just be devastated because we were thinking, this isn't going to happen for us. We're just fools. We're fools who want kids, and it's never going to happen.
Before I go on, let me just say that if you are in a season of being angry with God, tell him. God has big enough shoulders to handle your pain. God already knows you're angry with him. Might as well tell him. Begin to have a conversation with him. In that video you heard, she just thought she was a fool, forever wishing, where are you, God, in the midst of my pain? I regret that we ever talked about babies. They began to pursue adoption. And this particular adoption was an open adoption. So they got to meet the birth mom. Would you watch this?
Right now.
We're working on it. The name Chloe is completely off
the
table.
Right,
we've abandoned it.
We had decided, oh, that was just a fluke thing. That was a coincidence that we both liked that name, you know. That was nothing. And so we had even talked about a different name. And the social worker working with us, she says, okay, well, the birth mother would like to meet you before she has the baby. And we were like, yes, we want to meet her. Sounds great. And so we took a trip up to Wichita.
Today's a big day, huh?
Yeah.
What are we doing?
We're going to meet Allison. For the first time.
You nervous?
Yeah. A little bit. We went to the house where she was living and we knocked on the door and...
She opens the door and it looks like a grown-up version of this little girl in my head that was from the past. And I was like, oh my goodness, what in the world, you know? And so in a second, in my head, the name was back on the table.
We went up to this room and sat and talked for, I don't know, 3 hours or so.
The social worker says, now let's talk about a name. Have you thought of a name?
She said, yeah, well, ever since I got pregnant, even before I knew it was a girl, I've been calling this baby Chloe.
We were just floored.
And both Walt and I don't even remember what we did exactly. I just know that I was ugly crying.
We were weeping and she was like, oh, you hate the name. And we're like, oh my goodness, no, we love the name. God has spoken, he's told us this name.
Just dawned on me before I ever even knew you guys existed or anything. Just was like, I want to name, you know, this little girl Chloe, and I didn't know if you guys would like it or stick with it or anything like that. I just kind of figured maybe you'd have something else, but so that's why, like, when I threw it out there, I was just kind of like, I've been calling her Chloe. And then you guys, oh, and I'm like, okay, I'm sorry, it's my name.
All those doubts about having the Band-Aid baby were just completely out of the window, and it felt like I just had full body shivers. It was like the Holy Spirit was just right there.
This is so much a God thing that's going on right now. You've been planned for a long time. Before you were even conceived, we knew your name. And
before before she was even conceived, they knew her name. In the midst of their greatest darkness, they couldn't feel him, they couldn't see him. They didn't know that God was working on their behalf. God had not forsaken them. God was right there. May I make a segue beyond this sermon? If you've ever thought about fostering or adopting, and you felt the Lord speak to you about it, do it. We heard from Jean last week how important people were to her life. When she went to college, she was taken in by some spiritual parents that really mentored her. Children need that. I spoke to a woman just this week that wasn't officially adopted but was raised by a family that wasn't her biological family. And one thing she told me, she goes, man, and I use her word, she says, I put my family through hell. And she goes, I could never adopt. I could never do that to a person. And I'm looking at her and going, what in the world are you saying? Someone rescued you. The body of Christ should rescue people. And I'm not trying to manipulate you and say, man, if that's not what God's called you to do, man, that's okay. But if it's God's put it on your heart, do it. You'll hear me say a lot, tomorrow's never come. The number of people that I hear says, yeah, one day we're going to adopt. One day's just never come. If God has placed it in your heart, save a child. Love a child. And you say, how can I love a child that's not my own? I have three. And they are my girls. They're my girls. I'm chasing a rabbit here. I'm sorry. I've told this story many times. I'm chasing, sorry. With one of them, we met the woman that raised one of them. And she put her arms around that child. And she said, thank you for raising my child. To be gracious to her, I said, thank you. You know, I appreciate that. You know, thank you. But I got home and I said, listen. Said I was angry, not at the person. The person meant totally well. But I was angry because I want you to know I am not raising their child. I'm raising my child. You're mine. No matter who gave birth to you, you are my daughter. The church should lead the way in saving and rescuing children. I'll get back to my message. I'm almost done. Would you stand with me? Wayne, if you have some tissue back there, if you would bring me some. Perhaps you're here today and you've been crying out in anguish. You don't understand why you're in the season of darkness. Or maybe you went through that darkness and you don't understand what lessons could have ever been gleaned for it. God has a lesson to glean from it. God will take what the enemy meant for evil and he will turn it around for his good. And use it for his glory. We laugh at the enemy because when he tries to destroy us, God will turn around that destruction and use it to see more lives transformed by his power. What do? We slow down. We listen. We find the good and we expect the best. We look for the lessons. We look for the treasures in the midst of the darkness. We surround ourselves with godly people. And we trust that God is at work, even when we don't feel Him or hear Him. When our leaders come forward, like the man's family, she was so angry with God because she couldn't feel Him or see Him or know what He was doing, only to discover that God was right in the midst of that journey. Not only did God give them Chloe that He had called out, but God allowed them to give a life to a baby, and this baby's going to grow up in a lovely, godly home as a result. Know that God is at work, even when you don't feel it. We walk by faith, not by sight. I will close with these words. I think one of the negative phrases that I hear from non-charismatics is that charismatics just chase after feelings. We experience God's presence. We get chill bumps. We feel His presence. We chase after feelings. I don't disagree with that. I feel that feelings are very important in our walk with God. But one of the negatives that people complain about charismatics is that we chase after feelings. We should be a church that we walk by faith and not by sight. Whether we feel His presence, hear this, I believe in feeling God's presence. Man, I want that. But even when we don't feel it, we stand on His word because we are people of the book. We worship God in spirit and in truth. When we can't feel Him, we stand on truth. This morning, if you are here and you are struggling in your walk with God, come and let us pray for you. If you are here and you are walking through a dark season of your life, come and let us pray for you. You don't have to share the details. Just join with someone and let us pray for you. Maybe the dark season has passed, but you're going, what in the world could I have ever learned from that? I don't can't figure it out. Would you join with someone? They may have a word from God just for you that opens your eyes. It's amazing how God uses other people to speak His word to us. If you're in this place and you have a need for prayer, would you come right now? Just make your way up. If you're struggling in your relationship with God and you want to rekindle that, would you come right now? Maybe God's put on your heart adoption or foster care and you're struggling with that. Oh no, what will that look like? Would you come right now? If you have a need for prayer, would you come? We won't keep you long, but if you're in the body right now, just begin to pray for those that are coming. If you need to come, would you come? If you need to come, would you come? Hallelujah, Jesus. As we close, don't forget about the baby bottles out there. As we close, remember, Catchy, be praying for next Sunday morning and what God wants to do. Bring somebody with you. Be light to them. And I close with this last 30 seconds. Tori, my daughter's here for the summer, but in Waxahachie, she saw a message of a foster care to adoption ministry that has become so effective that the entire county does not have needs for foster care. Every child in the entire county has a home. Majorly through the body of Christ. Wouldn't it be great if Katy, Texas never had need of a home for a child because the church, not just Go Church, the church rises up like never before. Mentoring someone one-on-one that you've led to the Lord is phenomenal, but man, raising a child in your home, you're instilling those values on a daily basis. Father, would you teach us the treasures that are found in the darkness, God? When you are silent or when we can't hear your voice, when we are going through our darkest seasons, God, would we be a people that would stir ourselves and remind ourselves that you are at work even when we don't feel you? Would we slow down and listen? Would we look for the good and expect the best? Would we not run from people, but would we run to the body of Christ and surround ourselves with people that will pour life into us? Like the Manus family, would we recognize, even when we can't see, feel, hear you, that you are working in our midst, and we will walk by faith even when our sight doesn't see that? May we be a people of your word. Father, may we bless the ministry that is sowing into women in the midst of pregnancies that are difficult for them. Father, we pray for Ketchy and her coming and her mother. And may that minister to us and speak to us boldly, God. May you use it. May you use her darkness to bring us treasures that we could walk out of here with, God. And we praise you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. What a wonderful Sunday morning. Thank you for being here.